Ever wish you had a supercomputer in your back pocket? Well, today's deep dive is the next best thing.
We're talking serious horsepower here.
We're taking you on a guided tour of a Rocky Linux 9 server with SLURM.
Your ticket to high-performance computing.
Especially for those of you tackling massive data sets and those really intricate deep learning projects.
What's really remarkable about this setup,
yeah,
you know, is how it levels the playing field.
It does.
We're talking two Intel Xeon Gold processors.
Okay.
512 gigabytes of RAM. Impressive in itself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then,
yeah,
there are the two NVIDIA A100 GPUs.
Whoa.
And these aren't just for stunning graphics.
No.
These are the workhorses of AI.
Yeah.
Potentially cutting down processing time from days to hours.
Wow.
Maybe even minutes, depending on the task.
That's what I call a serious productivity boost.
Right.
But before we all race off to submit our dream projects, let's talk access.
Sure.
Not just anyone can waltz into this data center, right?
Absolutely. Security is paramount. You'll need to register a public SSH key.
Yep.
Think of it as your digital key card to this powerful machine. Don't worry, the link for that is in the show notes.
Okay.
Once you're in the user guides, they really delve into the heart of SLURM.
Okay.
Starting with the difference between interactive and non-interactive jobs.
Now, those sound like two distinct flavors of data projects.
Yeah.
What's the gist for those of us new to this whole high-performance computing scene?
Imagine you're coding.
Okay.
Interactive jobs are like working directly in the code editor.
Okay.
Real-time interaction.
Right.
For debugging or quick tests.
Makes sense.
Non-interactive jobs, on the other hand,
yeah,
are like hitting run on a complex program.
Okay.
And letting it do its thing.
Right.
You submit a script, and SLURM manages the resources, letting it run independently.
So non-interactive jobs are for when you need to, like, unleash the server's full power without babysitting the process.
Precisely.
Gotcha.
And for a lot of data science and deep learning projects, that's the sweet spot. But here's where SLURM gets even more interesting.
Okay.
Those Jupyter Labs sessions the user guides keep mentioning.
Yeah, I've seen those.
They've set it up so you can use a non-interactive job to launch a Jupyter Labs session.
Oh, interesting.
It's like a virtual portal to your own data science playground.
Cool.
Accessible from any web browser.
Hold on. So we're using a non-interactive job to start an interactive one. That's some next-level efficiency hacking.
It is.
Walk us through it.
Think of it this way. You're scheduling a meeting, right?
Okay.
That's your non-interactive job.
Right.
But the meeting room is a fully loaded Jupyter Lab environment.
Oh, wow.
Tailored to your project needs.
I like it.
The user guides provide a script called runjupyter-shared.sbatch as a template.
I'm sensing a theme here. Organization is key. These guides seem to emphasize having a dedicated directory for each project. No more dumping everything onto the desktop, huh?
Not if you want to stay sane.
Great.
Once you've got your project directory, you copy in that runjupyter-shared.sbatch script, and this is where you fine-tune things. Request the number of GPUs, CPU cores, RAM, basically, how much horsepower you need.
Okay.
The script lets you specify the time limit for the session, too.
So it's a bit like ordering off a menu.
It is.
I'll take two GPUs, a side of extra RAM, and hold the crashes, please.
Exactly.
Love it.
And just like ordering food, it helps to know what you're really hungry for.
True.
Understanding your project's computational demands.
Right.
Ensures you're using resources efficiently.
Yeah.
Which is crucial for everyone.
Speaking of resources, what about storage?
Sure.
Where do all our files and results end up in this SLURM setup?
The user guides highlight a shared directory called Shared Jupyter Dir.
Okay.
What's really cool is that this acts as persistent storage.
Oh, nice.
Your files stay put even across multiple sessions.
Okay.
No more starting from scratch every time.
That's a game changer, especially when you're dealing with large data sets or models that take ages to train. So we've got our dedicated directory, customized our resource requests, and hit go on that script. What happens next? Is it just a waiting game?
Almost.
Okay.
Here's a crucial detail. The user guides emphasize you absolutely need to check the job's output file.
Okay.
It contains a unique URL and token.
Okay.
Basically, your keys to the Jupyter Lab kingdom.
Wait, so we could go through all that setup and still lock ourselves out. So we've got our Jupyter Lab session up and running. What's next?
Right.
Is it just a blank canvas, or does the server come with some pre-installed goodies?
It's way more than a blank canvas.
Okay, good.
The user guides talk about these pre-configured Python 3.9 environments.
Right.
for data science and doc learning.
Oh, very cool.
They've taken care of all the setup.
Nice.
So you can dive right in.
Like having a pre-stocked pantry for data chefs. Tell me more about these environments. What makes them so special?
Let's start with the data science environment.
Okay.
They call it NVs in the guides.
Okay.
It's got all the heavy hitters pre-installed.
Mm-hmm.
Pandas for data wrangling. Scikit-learn for building those machine learning models.
Right.
And Matplotlib for visualizing your findings.
Very nice.
It's like a one-stop shop for data exploration and analysis.
So no need to waste time installing packages and resolving dependencies. That's a win in my book. What about the deep learning environment?
The NVIDIA environment.
Okay.
That's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
It's got frameworks like PyTorch and TensorFlow ready to go.
Yeah.
And they're optimized to squeeze every ounce of performance out of those powerful NVIDIA A100 GPUs we talked about earlier.
That's what I'm talking about, unlocking the true potential of this hardware for those really demanding AI projects.
Yeah.
But what about flexibility?
Sure.
What if these pre-configured environments don't quite fit the bill for a specific project?
They've thought of that too.
Okay, good.
The user guides explain how to create and register your own custom Conda environment.
Oh, very nice.
Right, within JupyterLab.
Yeah. Excellent.
In a specific package.
Right.
Or a different version.
Yeah, yeah.
No problem.
So you're not locked into their choices, which is great for researchers or anyone working with specialized tools. It's like having the freedom to customize your own data science toolkit. This deep dive is already making me rethink my whole workflow.
And speaking of workflow.
Yes.
The guides don't just stop at setup.
Right.
They also emphasize the importance of monitoring your jobs.
Right, of course, yeah.
Keeping an eye on how those resources are being utilized.
Right, because even with a supercomputer at our disposal, we don't want to be careless and hog resources, do we?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's where commands like skew, Sacton's control come in handy.
Okay.
You can monitor your job status.
Okay.
See how much CPU and memory it's using.
Right.
And even track GPU utilization.
It's like having a real-time dashboard for your data projects,
yeah.
Making sure everything's running smoothly and nothing's getting overloaded.
Precisely.
Nice.
And the user guides go a step further.
Okay.
Explaining how to use these monitoring tools to optimize your resource requests for future jobs.
Yeah, interesting.
By understanding how your current job uses resources.
Right.
You can fine-tune your request for the next one.
Okay.
Potentially even saving on compute costs in the long run.
Now, that's what I call working smarter, not harder. This is what I'm talking about. It's not just about having access to raw power. It's about understanding how to use it effectively.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And speaking of using that power effectively.
Yes.
The guides also cover a really handy tool for managing those long-running interactive jobs.
Okay.
Screen sessions.
Okay, this is where I'll admit things get a bit fuzzy for me. Screen sessions, interactive jobs, background processes.
Yeah.
It feels like we're venturing deeper into the matrix here.
It's not as complicated as it sounds.
Okay, good.
Imagine you've got an interactive job running.
Okay.
Maybe you're training a complex model.
Right.
And it's going to take hours. A screen session.
Yeah.
Lets you detach from that process.
Okay.
Without interrupting it.
So if my internet connection drops or I need to close my laptop, I don't lose all my progress.
Exactly.
That's great.
The job keeps running in the background.
Right.
You can even close your laptop, go grab a coffee.
Right.
Come back.
Yep.
And reattach to that same session.
Oh, wow.
Right where you left off.
That is some serious peace of mind, especially when you're dealing with tasks that can run for hours, even days.
The user guides provide clear instructions on how to create, detach from, reattach to.
Right.
And even monitor jobs.
Okay.
Within screen sessions.
Gotcha.
It's a really powerful tool for managing your workflow.
I'm starting to see why these user guides are so valuable. They're packed with practical tips and techniques that go beyond the basics of SLEORM. We've covered a lot of ground, but it sounds like there's even more to uncover, right? We've explored the server, we've mastered the art of launching those JupyterLab sessions, and even dipped our toes into the world of screen sessions. But it sounds like there's even more to this SLEORM saga.
Yeah.
What other hidden depths are we uncovering today?
Hold on to your hats.
Okay.
Because now we're venturing into advanced SLEORM territory.
Ooh.
Think of it as going from like casual user to power user.
Okay.
Able to fine-tune your experience for maximum efficiency.
I like it.
One of these power moves is managing job priorities.
Okay, so if I've got a mission-critical analysis that absolutely, positively has to be done by tomorrow morning,
right.
Is there a way to, like, nudge it to the front of the line?
The user guides do mention using this control command.
Okay.
To adjust a job's priority.
Right.
But here's the catch. Regular users have limited control over this.
Okay.
It's like having access to the express lane, but needing like special permission to actually use it.
So no cutting the line without a hall pass.
Right.
I guess that keeps things fair for everyone. But even without VIP priority, it sounds like we can still strategize about when our jobs run. You mentioned something about scheduling jobs for specific times.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's say you have a computationally intensive job, maybe training a massive neural network.
Right.
Instead of clogging up the system during peak hours, you can use the spatch command.
Okay.
With the begin option.
Okay.
To tell SLURM
yeah.
exactly when to start the job.
So instead of me being glued to my screen, waiting for things to finish, I yeah. can basically set an alarm clock for my data project.
Exactly.
That's brilliant.
It's like having SLURM do the overnight shift while you get some rest.
I love it.
And you can even set a time limit.
Okay.
With the time option,
mm-hmm.
telling the job to run for a maximum of, say, 8 hours.
Right, right.
This level of control is great for, one, managing your own time,
right.
and two, being considerate of those shared resources.
It's like setting boundaries with your data. Don't you dare run past 8 a.m. I need my coffee and a clear head.
Exactly.
You know, we've covered so much ground in this deep dive.
We have.
From the foundational elements of accessing the server, navigating those user guides, to like advanced techniques, those screen sessions, and even scheduling jobs for optimal efficiency. What stands out as like the most impactful takeaway for you?
For me, what's truly remarkable is how accessible high performance computing has become.
Yeah.
Just a few years ago, this kind of setup would have been limited to like well-funded research labs.
Right, right.
But with tools like SLURM and these incredibly detailed user guides, anyone willing to put in a little effort can tap into this power.
Yeah, it's like we've been handed the keys to like a turbocharged race car.
It is.
And the user guides are the instruction manual, right? It might seem intimidating at first, but once you understand the mechanics, the possibilities are limitless. What advice would you give to someone just starting out with SLURM, feeling maybe a little overwhelmed?
I would say don't be afraid to dive into those example notebooks the user guides mentioned.
Right.
Remember, those are in the examples directory.
Right.
Ready to go.
Okay.
They cover both data science and machine learning, providing practical demonstrations of the concepts we've discussed.
Right. Excellent examples.
They're a great starting point for getting your hands dirty and seeing SLURM in action.
It's like having a test track for your data, projects a safe space to experiment and push the limits without the fear of breaking anything. We've said it before, but these user guides truly are the key.
They are.
They're not just technical documents. They're gateways to a world of computational power that was previously out of reach for most people.
It's true. And that's what I find so exciting. We're on the cusp of a new era in data science and deep learning, where the limitations are no longer defined by access to resources, but by the scope of our imagination.
So to all our listeners, the challenge is out there. Take what you've learned in this deep dive, embrace the power of SLURM, and who knows, your next groundbreaking discovery might be just a well-crafted job script away.